It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, so I did.
But the
good.
And I care? All right. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world. Just going to wait for a second to find out who's on the phone.
Oh, sorry.
Who is it? Yes, I know it's you. Who's on the other end?
Someone's going to knock on your door.
It's the lawnmower kid. Not now. Go away. Okay, open the door. Okay, here's my deal. Hand me my wallet. All right, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you $10. Wait, have you got any money on you?
Yeah.
Have you got 10 on you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you 20. Don't mow tonight. All right. But sometime this weekend. That's 10?
I don't know. It's like a little more than that.
Oh, well, don't give me too much.
Here, I'll count it out.
Yeah, make sure that he gets his fair amount here. Don't do it tonight because we're recording a podcast.
All right.
But anytime between now and Sunday.
All right.
All right. You do good work.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Welcome to the Magical Talking Podcast, the only podcast in the world where you get to hear a small child being hired to mow a lawn on air. Okay, we'll get back to the kid later, but for the moment, I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 127.
And we're clearly not with it at the moment. The producer's in the background talking to, I'm going to guess, a family member. I don't know.
About a garden, I think.
Yeah, that's part of why, I guess. It could also be the neighbors. But anyway, for those of you just joining us, sorry. This is a podcast. We have a magical hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address that it can check all by itself. And so people like yourselves email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Please email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat. Hey, keep it down, please. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And then the hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little cards that we draw out of the hat randomly and talk about till we're bored. It's the premise of the show. That was like the loudest phone call you've ever done.
She's the producer. She can do whatever she wants.
I still have a phone.
I heard you say bye.
I said bye to the 6-year-old.
Oh, damn it. Is this not the greatest episode ever? Anyway, so we're here and we're doing this. That kid.
So, wait a minute. The phone rings. It's someone the producer wants to talk to, so she's talking to
them. Well,
person.
I now know who it is because there was a 6-year-old
and
involved.
The kid knocks on the door. It's the worst timing ever for you to start the podcast.
Really?
If you just started it like 2 minutes later, we could have.
And here's the thing. Both my wife and that kid know when we start recording. I have told that kid my recording schedule. That kid.
It's the first time it's ever happened.
Is a monster.
A monster?
Yes.
What do you mean? Like a changeling or a vampire?
No, he's a monster of negotiation and economic intimidation.
Dude, that kid had a gun pointed at him.
By who?
I don't think that was a joke, folks.
It
no,
was not a joke.
That was the one. Oh, that's right, because he was going around and there was some guy in the house was drunk and pointed a gun at the kid. And it was all crazy. But he still mows the lawns. And my neighbor, who used to just magically mow my lawn without asking, has stopped that. And I want to complain, but really, how am I going to complain about that? So I had to do it once. Sucked. So this kid starts showing up again. And he says, do you need your lawn mowed? And I said, how much? He said, you got a backyard? I said, yeah, but we don't need it mowed. He says, okay, 15. And I don't want the kid to mow. I don't know why I asked. So I'm like, my wife won't let me spend that much. She's like, how about 10? And I'm like, no, really. She's like, how about 5? I'm like, holy shit. So then I'm like, okay, fine. So I gave him 10 bucks to mow the last time. And he did a good job. Ever since then, like every weekend, he bangs on a door. And he won't stop banging. Like, we sit in the other room. We're like, well, neither of us wants to get up to answer. And he bang, 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 forever. And I finally figured out it was him. Because there was one day where he was here. And I said, not now. We do want it, but not yet. And so he's back today. So I gave him 10 bucks. And I told him not to mow tonight. I said, but before the end of the weekend. And he said, okay.
We probably should just set up a standing deal with him.
I think that is not a bad idea.
Because it's a good deal, and I don't mind giving the kid money.
Exactly.
And he didn't have a gun pointed at him, so, you know.
So we owe him. It wasn't us who pointed the gun.
No, but I'm just saying. He's got an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, he does.
Despite hardship. But wait, you didn't tell him the best part. This last time he asked Tony if he could mow the grass for $5, and Tony told him not now, and so then he said 10.
Well, that's he says, could I mow your lawn for $5? And I said, and he goes, or 10? And I'm like, you don't know how this is working.
Or maybe you don't know. You should have said, yes, 5.
Well, yeah, because the first time he said 5, but Tony ended up giving him 10.
He will take fucking anything. And at the same time, he's trying to come up with a deal. But he's too obvious about it. Like, that's the thing. It's worth it $5 for him to do it. But he knows that's way too cheap to do it. So he wants more unless he can't get more. And then he'll do it for 5. And that the first time, he talked himself down to 5. And I still gave him 10 because I'm like, this is horrible. And I'm sticking with 10. Yeah,
him,
so I'm sticking with 10 for now. If it becomes a thing, maybe 15. I don't know.
Yeah, well, dude, but we can get him to break the leaves in the fall.
Oh, sweet, yeah.
Hate that.
I do hate that. Yeah, no, this is a deal.
No, the other day at work, I was trying to think of other crap we could get the kid to do.
Make me dinner.
No. All right,
you go run.
All right.
You and that kid need to be outside. Stop distracting the podcast.
I have a date with a 6-year-old now. It's going to be awesome.
Is that this weekend? Because you got plans this weekend.
No, it's Labor Day. We're building a bear.
Like at Build-A-Bear?
No.
Or out of Legos?
No, I gave him a kit, apparently. I'd forgotten this, but we're going to make it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
A bear kit, you know.
You know, like you do.
Anyway. My life. So, how was your week, William?
Oh, you know. Went to the fair, which was great.
You did good. I was hoping. I was wondering if you were going to make it
to
the fair.
Wasn't sure I was feeling up to it, but it worked out. But I don't have to. Here she comes back. She must have forgot her sunglasses again.
Now I just think it's a game she likes to play. This is just your shtick now, isn't it?
Sunglasses?
The kid, yeah.
It's like the weirdest sitcom gag.
The kid wasn't out there.
Find him. Go now, run, and find him.
I'm calling him.
You have his number? Okay, sorry. You were saying...
Well, I don't really have to say... I mean, you know, I talk about the fair all the time. This is the third time in the time we've been broadcasting that fair time has come around, so I don't...
That is true.
Suppose I have to say very much about it. But you... had an action-packed month so far, I think, so you probably have a lot.
I had a lot going on this week.
Yeah, right, so.
Tell
us all about it.
Many things. Work is crazy. There's a lot of upheaval and change there. Don't want to go into that, but that's fine. Finally caught up, finished Warehouse 13.
Well, You're doing better than us.
Oh, you haven't finished yet?
No.
All right.
We should check because we're watching it online and there's like a something like a 6 month okay. lag or something.
Well, season five is done.
Yeah, we should probably go back and see if we can watch it. I forgot all about it.
And yeah, and then season six next year is only going to be like 6 episodes.
Right.
And that's the end. So caught up with that. Not watching a lot. Our DVR is like 2% right now. It's kind of crazy. We're basically watching Perception, and then we each have a few individual shows, and that's pretty much it.
Perception.
The Eric McCormick thing on TNT.
Don't know anything about it.
It's a crime-solving show. He's a neuroscience professor who is also a paranoid schizophrenic. He has hallucinations. And originally I was like, oh, it's Monk, but with hallucinations instead of OCD. But in fact, it's not, partially because the point of the show is that he consults with them. So it's only on cases that tend to involve some sort of psychological situation.
I see.
And also, the show actually is about him dealing with this.
I see.
The show is not, his paranoid schizophrenia is not comic relief.
Okay.
And so far, really, sometimes it's a little emotionally overwrought. But for that kind of, you know, murder of the week shows, I really like it a lot.
It's good.
And went to roller derby this weekend.
Right.
That was awful.
Awful? Why?
Well, first it was a doubleheader. So it was 4 hours of derby. The first game was against a sort of B team, an up-and-coming team, a training team of Cedar Rapids versus our training team.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough roller derby girls, really, to have two full teams.
Okay.
So some of our starting girls were on this team.
Okay.
Had a couple of people there who had never seen roller derby before. And it's bad to show them the B teams when it's starting, because the difference is quite noticeable. Mm. It is slower. There's a lot more falling down.
Mm.
And we got beat. And then the second game,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those same starting girls were playing in that game, which yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah, probably tired.
Our team overall was just smaller. So there was a lot more. So I think we just got wore out. We got our asses beat. Hard. And we had a couple people got ejected from the game because of fouls. And near the end, 5 minutes to go, Meredith Gray, that's her derby name, fell down, took a hit, and dislocated her tibia and spiral fractured her fibula.
Oh, jeez.
It was pretty awful. The whole thing was just that length of time sitting in those uncomfortable chairs and just the whole experience was just really stressful.
Hmm.
Did not particularly enjoy that.
Well, that's too bad.
That being said, this weekend I'm going to a whole bunch of derby.
That's in Des Moines, though, right?
Yep, in Des Moines. And yeah, and our team won't be there. We didn't make the playoffs. But division finals, our division championship, we'll be leaving after work Friday, so we'll basically miss Friday's stuff. But we might catch a little bit. And then Saturday and Sunday. Looking forward to that. Mostly looking forward to that just as a getaway weekend with Trish and I, you know,
sure,
vacation,
sure.
hotel, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm sure we'll watch some derby because we paid for it. And we have some... Oh, after derby that night
mm-hmm.
at Steak and Shake, ran into Beth, our listener Beth.
Wow.
And finally met the fiancé. Never have actually done that before.
He's real.
He is, and in fact, the wedding is like a month and a half away.
Wow.
So we're going to have to bitch about other things. Although I'm prepared for this.
You are?
Yes, because a coworker of mine, Angela, has recently started listening to the podcast, and I am totally nosing my way into her wedding, which isn't until spring.
Okay.
I'm already trying to get her the same officiant we had, giving her lots of advice on things to do, so we'll just get totally wrapped up in planning her wedding now. Hi, Angela, by the way. She snuck in listening. I didn't tell her, like, what it was called or anything. And just one day, she's like, oh, I'm listening to your podcast right now. Like, she had her headphones in. And I said, how do you know? And she's like, Facebook. And I realized she had Facebook friended me. And I'm like, well, duh, that's the only thing I ever put on Facebook. So she's been listening. She likes us better than the Nerdist.
better.
Yep. Yep.
Hmm.
I was impressed with that.
How does that work exactly?
I think she just doesn't think they're funny.
Oh.
I don't know. At first I thought she was just being polite, and then she tracked me down in the hallways to ask me if I'd ever seen The Shining, because we were talking about movies that scared us. She, like, walked over specifically to talk to me about that. I'm like, okay, so she's into this. That's cool. We always love new listeners and old listeners. We just love listeners. We like attention.
Yeah.
But anyway,
kind of our deal, I guess.
I have a very important thing I have to talk about.
Well, I want to say welcome to Angela also.
Oh, you're welcome to Angela. And Sean thanked us for the shout out last week, so you're welcome, Sean. And by extension, you get another one. So it's just, this could be a never-ending spiral.
It's a two-for-one deal.
Yes, you're going to thank us for this, and then it's going to get crazy.
We'll probably talk about Angela next time.
Uh-huh. Because she's going to be so mad we talked about her. Anyway, this is a very important public service we need to discuss.
Okay.
Yesterday, the producer and I saw Elysium.
Right. And what about it?
You gotta ask. Come on.
I'm asking. What about it?
Don't see it.
Well, I hadn't really planned on seeing it, actually.
But I don't mean in the theater. I mean ever. I mean,
why?
If it's on TV. It is astonishingly bad. Hmm. In sort of a perfect storm of many bad things together. I was expecting very mediocre, very lackluster, because that's the kind of reviews it's getting.
Right.
No, so much worse than that. It is, this makes me dislike District 9 more. Like, I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. I now dislike it out of spite because I'm mad at Neil Blomkamp. In fact, as soon as the credits started, the first thing out of my mouth, quite loudly in the theater, was, fuck you, Neil Blomkamp. And it was not alone. The producer also... I'm not sure the producer hates it as much as me, because I've tried to make some comparisons, and she thought I might have gone too far, in that I think Watchmen was better than this.
You think that? Wow.
I do.
That's saying something.
Yeah, I know. But she agrees it's really, really bad. It's just... There's so many levels. Like, it's really hacky, cliched, heavy-handed plot. Just... terrible. You've seen this plot 1,000 times before, done better. It has plot holes so big that unrelated films are having their stories fucked up by this movie's plot holes. It's offensive. It's quite racist in places, quite classist in places, and damn misogynist in places. It's completely confusing in spot. Like, there are big chunks of it I just don't even fucking understand. And it's pretty hyper-violent for quite a bit of it, just to add that in there. It's a mess. And I will say this is not as bad as Sin City. It's a very low bar, I know. and some of the aspects of it reminded me of Sin City, in that I'm pissed again because visually it was really kind of cool. They did really well. Not a lot of amazing spectacle, but lots of special effects and sci-fi shit that I would forget are special effects. Mm-hmm. There were a couple times where I was like, oh, wait, that's probably CG, and I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
And it's such a waste on this movie. Mm. It is a bad movie, and it's not even a fun make. I mean, you can. I was laughing hysterically at the final resolution. It's hilariously stupid. But it's not worth it in general. I almost walked out 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
It's bad. I encourage you to never bother to see it. And we should all just forget it happened. And you, William especially, don't see it. You okay. Would not. There is no real worth in this movie for you.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of things that would piss you off.
All right, well, I probably won't see it.
Just sort of floored at how bad it was. I don't even understand. I feel like they had to work to make it this bad. On paper, I feel like there's a lot of shit here that might have been okay, or at least tolerable. But I don't know what the fuck happened. If any of the rest of you have seen it, go on the blog and tell me I'm full of shit. Or agree with me. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. I'd love to hear your features. And I will say this one thing about it. I feel like the character of Spider was probably really fun to play. He was a side character, but he was around a fair bit. And I feel like he just... I would like playing that role. It was a fun sort of chew the scenery kind of role. I think that would be good.
Okay.
The protagonist from District 9 is in this movie as a horrific, terrible, psychotic killer.
See, I didn't really like District 9 that much
myself. And a lot of people felt that way. And I kind of understand it, and I almost want to rewatch it because of some stuff. It went in weird directions. I was still pretty impressed at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think this proves that a lot of what was going on there that was good was maybe just coincidence. And really, Neil Blomkamp just wants to make... he wants to be Zack Snyder.
Well...
because that's what this movie is. Like, I really feel like Zack Snyder made this movie.
Wow.
It's bad. It's really bad. And just... and that's the thing. For any given category, I know movies more offensive. I know movies with stupider plots. I know movies with bigger plot holes. You know, all of this stuff. I know movies that are more violent and more disgusting. But the fact that it ranks so highly in all of these categories is just amazing. And it is, I would say, the worst film I've seen this year, and probably the worst film I've seen in quite a few years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not fucking around with this. Jesus. We were just shocked. Again, not as... and that's the thing. There's only one other movie that we came out of it sort of shell-shocked, and that was Sin City. And that one was hardcore. Like, we did not speak until midway through our meal that we had afterward. And that conversation started with... was that real? Yeah. No. Yeah, like, we were just out of our minds.
Yeah.
This one, at least, immediately... like, I could turn to her and be like, that was really bad. She's like, yeah, what the hell?
Well,
like, but it still kind of just left us in shock. We sat in the car afterwards and we're like, I don't even know how that happened. So do not see Elysium. Just skip it. And I promise you, even there are probably people out there, there's probably a lot of people, it was the biggest box office this last weekend, who think it's fun. Like, the stuff that I'm bitching about is not as bad as I say. That's fine. Tell me what's worthwhile about it. At best, it's still a mediocre sci-fi movie that is forgettable, and if you don't ever see it, it's fine. So why take the risk, is what I'm saying.
Why take the risk?
Why take the risk that I'm right? Because I am, motherfuckers. I had to get that off of my chest. I felt bad because I was telling everybody at work, seriously, my mission today has been to stop people from seeing Elysium. I'm seriously considering calling this episode Don't See Elysium. That'll just be the title. but I have this thing with movies and stuff, is I won't tell people who I know listen about it. I'm like, oh, you gotta listen. And I forgot, and Angela, actually, I just threw up on her with my Don't See Elysium spiel. And afterwards, I'm walking away, and I'm like, oh, shit, I wasn't supposed to tell her because she's gonna listen. So I didn't tell Sean. I saw Sean later, and I'm like, I'm not going to mention it.
Well,
secret.
Sorry.
And I also didn't tweet for
the same
thing.
Sorry you had to endure that again, Angela.
I don't like to spoil how bad it is for people until the podcast. Then I do like to spoil it because, holy shit. Get out.
A little bit off topic here, but I want to ask you a question.
Really? Off topic of how shitty Elysium is?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you seen all of the Alien and Predator movies?
No.
You haven't?
No. And this is a problem for me.
It is?
Yeah, because I mean to, and also because I don't want to see Prometheus till I'm at least caught up. Here's the deal. Here's my Alien Predator situation.
Okay. You have an Alien Predator situation.
We all have an Alien Predator situation. Just some situations are more interesting. No, that's what I call my abs. The Alien Predator situation. And if you saw me with my shirt off, you would understand. And now, of course, that's the title of the episode. The Alien Predator Situation.
Okay, what is your Alien Predator Situation right outside of your abs?
Yes. Or maybe it should be, I call my abs the... I think that's too much words. It's just the Alien Predator Situation. So, I haven't seen Predator.
All right. At all?
I feel like I should. I mean, well, you know, there have been clips in shows and stuff forever, but yeah, no, I have not really seen it.
Huh. That's interesting.
I feel like I should. I feel it is somewhat seminal to sci-fi action films. And at this point, I figured it would be funny, if nothing else. Get through the chopper! And, you know, Carl Weathers, Jesse the Body Ventura. How can you go wrong? I have seen Predator 2.
Oh, you have?
I have. Yeah, not a great film.
No.
Interesting to see Donald Glover as, like, the action hero. Very weird. Very weird feel. Sort of like if they gave Reginald Val Johnson a movie where he played his character from Die Hard, you know? It's that kind of vibe. Did not see Alien until maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
The Bijou had like a midnight showing and I finally saw it.
Right.
Have not seen Aliens, which I feel is very important for me to see Aliens. And I have not, and I need to do that. But long ago, I saw the third one, like on TV or something. Mm-hmm. Chose not to remember much. Don't care. Kind of setting it over with, like, the sequels to the Highlander movie. Like, they don't really exist, and you don't really need to deal with that shit. Because it's just dumb. And have not seen the fourth Joss Whedon one. However, you will note in this comment before, sitting right there is a box set of DVDs of all four Alien films. Oh. And I have seen the first Alien vs. Predator. Mm-hmm. I have not seen the second Alien vs. Predator.
Which was just 2010, I think.
Well, no, that I believe was Predators.
Oh, no, you're right, it was.
Which was almost sort of a reboot more than a sequel. Because basically I think a bunch of people got kidnapped to this planet and then they got hunted down by predators. I don't even think aliens were involved.
No. We've seen all of them.
All of the... Everything I just mentioned?
Yes, we've seen it all.
For fuck's sake.
You know what's funny is Bill Paxton is in the second Aliens movie and the second Predators movie.
Wow.
Playing very similar roles, as a matter of fact. Not exactly similar, but kind of similar.
To be fair, it's Bill Paxton. It's not like he's got a lot of range.
Well, I know, but
his biggest stretches are Chet from Weird Science and the guy from Big Love.
But his role in the Aliens movie, with the second installment of the Aliens,
yes,
whatever, is pretty, you know, well known. In fact, probably the best known and most often quoted line from that movie is from him. And it's a line he improvised, actually.
Which line?
The script. Game over, man.
Oh, that... Oh!
He improvised
Why did I think that was from Full Metal Jacket?
No, it was from
him. Interesting.
Another interesting line that is one of the most famous from a particular film that wasn't in the script was, we're going to need a bigger boat. Or you're going to need a bigger boat from Jaws.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
yeah, Bill Paxton's in the second Aliens movie and the second Predator movie.
Probably about a year ago, found out in The Usual Suspects, when we are sort of introducing the characters, and there's the guy, I don't remember who played him, but there's the guy who speaks really weird, and it's very hard to understand him. I think his name is Normal.
You're talking about the lineup?
Yeah, I think so.
They have to ID the person.
Yeah, well, but the guys are saying stuff, and that guy who speaks weird, he says whatever his first line is, and Kevin Pollak's character says, "What the fuck did he just say?" Not only was that improvised, that was like in rehearsal.
Yeah.
And that is the take from it, though, because the cameras were rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting thing I discovered, I think, yesterday. I think from one of the trailers before Elysium. I think Benicio del Toro might be the heir to all the parts Raul Julia would have gotten if he'd stayed alive.
If he'd stayed alive. Just stay alive a little while longer.
Because we saw a trailer for something, and he's in it, and for a split second, I'm like, is that Raul Julia? And I'm like, A, too young, B, alive. But I suddenly realize, and ultimately, this is probably not a deep cinematic insight. This is probably just some serious racist bullshit on my part.
Okay. Well.
But I feel like Benicio del Toro fills a similar niche. And that's a compliment to Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, he's very good, I think. I like him just better than you.
As the producer said last night, though, we should have been warned when one of the trailers for Before Elysium was for Machete Kills. For fuck's sake. And also, I would like to go on record right now as saying I intend to never, ever, ever see the movie right now with Tom Hanks as the captain of the boat that gets taken over by Somali pirates. I cannot explain to you how much I do not feel like watching that.
I didn't even know there was such a film.
We've seen the trailer in a couple of movies now. I just had to get that out of my chest, people. Seriously, if you ever loved me, don't see Elysium.
Are you done talking about your week?
Don't see Elysium. Don't do it. Yeah, I'm good.
She should probably draw from that, because it's probably pretty late, isn't it?
It's been about a half hour.
We burned a lot of time.
I fully expected to dedicate this whole episode to not to explaining to people not to see Elysium. And, of course, to my abs, the alien predator situation.
Well, we've seen them all. I have to say.
Why have you seen them all?
Well, it was just a thing. I don't know.
Here's the deal. I am a lunatic who drinks and abuses drugs heavily in my past. And that is largely why I explained that I saw all the Leprechaun movies. Even then, I occasionally stop and go, what the hell was I thinking? You people are the most straight-edge motherfuckers ever. Why would you do this?
Well,
are you angry at yourself?
No. Okay. So, the other two people in the household are kind of fans of the Alien franchise. They like them.
Okay. Well, there is a very strong female lead, and your household is in favor of that.
They like them. They decided before they watched. I think I explained this before. The younger person in the household thought, well, we should watch the Predator movies if we're going to watch the Aliens versus Predator movies. And I told her, you probably don't have to. I mean, you know, there's nothing really going on in the Predator movies that's going to matter.
Mm.
The fact is, all of the Alien films at least attempt to be good filmmaking, and the Predator films just aren't that. So you probably don't have to watch them. But they insisted, and I think they realized when we were finished watching the Predator films, and I was correct. They didn't like them. They thought they were horrible, and they pretty much wish they hadn't watched them. But they watched
them. I guess
them.
I understand that completionist feel.
Yeah, they just kind of wanted to.
Because I've occasionally had the urge to, like, watch all the Hellraiser movies. And I promise you, the first one is intriguing. It's not great. It's intriguing. I promise you, I don't know if it's number 2, number 3, number 4, but somewhere around there they turn to shit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I've still had the urge, you know, to do the whole set.
I think another thing is, you know, when we watched the Aliens versus Predator films, you know, they're actually sort of picked aside. I mean, they were sort of rooting for the aliens a lot of the time. And I think it enhanced that experience of, you know, picking which
side
they like
better.
The
aliens are not inherently evil. The aliens are animals.
Right, but
the predators are motherfucking assholes.
Well, right, but in the films, at least in the first one, I'm not recalling the second one very well, but
they do seem to change the backstory between the two, even though one is a direct sequel to the other.
Yeah, actually in both films, because the aliens are like, you know, like you said, they're like animals, but they're also like a virus, you know?
Yeah.
And the predator wants to kill them all. The humans end up sort of picking a side and cooperating with the predator to get rid of the aliens. See, so the films really aren't built around it's not really like a Freddy versus Jason kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, pretty much the aliens are the ones getting ganged up
Cobra
on.
Cobra versus Mongoose.
Whatever. So, but anyway, I think they felt like seeing all the Predator movies sort of, it also made them feel better, I think, about being fans of the Aliens movies. Because
see, like,
so
it could have been worse.
So they
it could have
so
been
much,
this.
Yeah, they're so much better made. But anyway. So Jazz is
Jazz.
The first person we've drawn out of the hat. She says, "Dear chaps of the chapeau, what story or series of stories in any form do you think are great for kids? Talking narrative here, so not Sesame Street."
Alien and Predator.
No.
For children.
Story or series of stories.
This is an interesting concept to me because I feel like, well, we've hit on this some. We've done some books and this kind of stuff. I find I'm frequently fascinated by what is considered acceptable children's fare now versus back a ways.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what I would say are my favorite childhood movies, a lot of people would not be okay showing little kids now. The Dark Crystal. Mm-hmm. The age at which I saw it was much younger than I think most parents would let their kids see it now. And don't get me wrong, the Gartham freaked my shit out. If you just made the little clacking noise near me, I would lose my mind. I don't believe it has caused me large trauma later, and I still adore that movie.
Right.
Labyrinth is in those lines. Well, Labyrinth's not that scary. Bog of Eternal Stench is scary. But, and Labyrinth is one of those movies that you're like, it's not a kid's movie. It's just nobody, including the people who made it, are aware of that fact. That movie's about motherfucking puberty. And they just forgot to mention that. I still think, I am one of the most not Christian people you'll run into, I still think Chronicles of Narnia is a great series for kids. Love that series. I still stand by the Susan Cooper books. That's probably my favorite.
I have no idea, really. I mean, I'm trying to think.
William hasn't ever met a child.
Well, see, the thing is, when I was...
He thought he had once, and it was just a little person.
When I was growing up...
It was an incident. It was terrible.
When all of my friends were, finding
pornos out in the woods.
Fictional stories and short books written for kids or teenagers. I was reading science books and things like that.
Fucking narrative now. Like
I know. I mean,
what were your first stories? Actual stories.
Television, I guess. Television shows.
We can do that. What shows?
Well, I don't know. Great for kids. I have no idea. I know that I liked the Andy Griffith Show, and interestingly enough, the kids in my house liked it too, which I was really surprised to find that out because I thought they'd hate it, but they liked it. I don't know if it's...
You liked it because you just thought it was a reality program for the people who live down the lane.
There was a very familiar feel to it, that's for sure. But I mean, when I was watching... I just don't know. I mean, when I got home from school, I'd watch The Beverly Hillbillies was in syndication for after school and Hogan's Heroes and Gilligan's Island and things like that. But I mean, even then I knew this isn't great storytelling or great TV. It's just something to watch when I get home from
school.
And
that's the thing is for kids. I mean, books run the gamut. And honestly, I'm tired of so many fucking young adult books now. But on the other hand, I like that there are choices out there for people, for young people. Because for me, it was the books in my elementary school library, which consisted of Jane and Dick go to the market kind of shit, and then the Newbery books, and then these few, sci-fi and fantasy series that were, right on, like the Susan Cooper ones, like Chronicles of Prydain, like, you know, there was some Roddenberry, there was the younger one of the Anne McCaffrey books, the younger trilogy, that was Dragon Song, Dragon Singer, and Dragon Drums. And then after that, I just fucking bought grown-up books.
Yeah.
In fourth and fifth grade, I was reading adult books. In fact, in fifth grade, I was reading The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, The Unbeliever. So work that through your little brains, people who know what that series is about. That's not right. So I like that there are these in-betweens. See,
that's another thing is the kids that I had most experience with as they were growing up were kind of like that. They kind of skipped over what might be called kids' books, you know, and they almost went directly to more fiction that's not really written for kids, science fiction and fantasy type of stuff. So I really don't feel like I have any frame of reference to say what stories or series of stories is great for kids.
And I feel like when it came to cartoons and children's shows, they fall into one of two camps. Either they were trying to get me, and sometimes actually there's a lot of overlap between the two, but either they're trying to get me to buy fucking toys, and in retrospect I can see now, holy shit, it's just a half-hour commercial, or they were trying to, you know, get me to brush my teeth, or not chew on styrofoam. I'm telling you, Super Friends, Wonder Woman told me not to chew on styrofoam. This was a thing. And they were just dumb. There wasn't real messages and real shit that was dealt with. And saying this now, I think I know where that stuff first came up. The place that had stuff that was on a level I could understand, I could cope with, and dealt with real issues. Honestly, it was sitcoms. 80s goddamn sitcoms.
I was going to say the same thing. Probably the thing that influenced me the most growing up was the sitcoms we watched, because they almost always dealt with something. I mean, each show had some issue they were dealing with that you could understand.
And it was glib, and it was saccharine, and it was melodramatic, but it was easily digestible to a kid.
Yep.
You know, so many things I learned from goddamn Family Ties. Yep, so many things I got out of that.
Right.
And even later, even into like my early teen years and stuff, there were episodes, this is going to sound like the most crazy sentence in the world, there were episodes of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that actually made me tear up. Because there were episodes that dealt, this is where I learned stuff about drugs, and stuff about abuse, and stuff about death, you know, losing family members, stuff about bullies, things like this. And yeah, it was completely unreal, completely surreal, and really overly simplified, which means as a grown-up, you'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But it was good for kids, and I don't think that's who they were aiming for. I think it was accidental, but it was, I never realized it before. This is kind of a revelation.
Oh, no, this is something that I've realized for a long time. When people ask me when I was growing up, you know, what stories I heard or saw that made the biggest impact, that I can still remember seeing in a show and thinking, oh wow, that's interesting what they're saying here. I can see how that might be true. It's TV sitcoms like the Cosby Show, for example.
Cosby Show,
there are moments in that show that I remember because they made me think about something about life, my life, or just life in general that I hadn't considered before, and I remember it to this day.
And I was always addicted to sitcoms. There aren't very
many things like that. There aren't very many movies or even books for me that are like that. It's mostly these sitcoms that we watch.
There was a big chunk of my life where I would watch any sitcom. If I could find a half-hour program with a laugh track, I would watch it. As I've gotten older, I've kind of... But I always had a soft spot for sitcoms. And there would be a Cosby Show, Growing Pains, Family Ties. Mm-hmm. These were very big ones for me. Well, Family Ties worked at it.
Yeah.
Family Ties, every third episode was a very special episode.
Well, the interesting thing about that, too, was Family Ties in particular, because that's one that our household was watching on Netflix for a while, and I was really surprised that the kids liked it. But I was able to sort of see it again, because it's the first time I'd seen it since I watched it when I was younger. But one of the things that was interesting about that show that I don't know if a lot of people think about is that you had these parents who were you know, stereotypical hippies, and they had a son who was, you know, a hyper-Republican fan of Reagan and everything. Yeah. And that was very interesting to see that as all that was, you know, that was while it was happening.
Yeah,
you know
that
what
was
saying?
What was actually going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so you're watching this and you're looking at the interaction between these people, and it does sort of mirror the interaction you see between these same people out in the real world.
Yeah.
It was just kind of interesting to watch that and to think about it. And when you're a younger person, I don't know, it instructs you on certain things, whether they intend for it to
yeah.
or not, or whether that's good or bad or not.
I remember thinking the Family Ties parents were some of the coolest fucking parents. And I really related because while my parents were not of the age to be hippies, they were too old for that. Yeah. They were fairly leftist leaning.
Yeah.
And so I felt it was sort of one of the first sets of parents that I'm like, that's kind of like my parents. And then of course MASH.
Oh yeah.
MASH did it better. That could relate
yeah,
to adults,
wow.
But so much shit about war and about death, so much
yeah.
about, about more complicated issues that, you know, sometimes people die and you can't do a damn thing about
it. Well, just about how people cope with these things
yes.
and what they do.
And admittedly, like, there were huge themes of sex and infidelity and stuff in the show that totally went over my head
right.
at that age.
Yeah, me too.
But the concepts of war and conflict and death and all were huge for me. This is amazing to me. Seriously, I've never put this together. I mean, I knew I watched tons of sitcoms, but I think they were my instructional things because the cartoons were, like I said, just selling me toys or telling me to brush my teeth.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they have cartoons, like every cartoon, because I've watched a lot from babysitting. And this is the cartoon that teaches you it's important to get physical exercise. This is the cartoon that teaches you it's important to pay attention. This is the cartoon that teaches you how to have good manners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all big fucking message things.
Yeah.
Back in the day, not remotely.
No.
But the sitcoms had them.
Yeah, and I stopped watching television pretty much after 1987, so, you know, there were a lot of new sitcoms that came along that I didn't watch, so I don't know if sitcoms changed or if they, I mean, I hear people talking about, how, oh, yeah, you've got the dumb, bumbling husband and the really wise, tolerant wife. I mean,
he's also really hot.
And the
husband is really fat.
I don't remember that being a thing in the sit. I mean, you know, I think
yeah.
there were sitcoms like that, but they were like Family Ties, for example, wasn't like that. You just had these. So I don't know if sitcoms still try really hard to kind of say something, but all of the sitcoms I remember watching seemed like they were trying. Like Bill, and I mean Bill Cosby, I'm sure very deliberately was always trying to say something. In every
yeah,
single one of
and they still are. They've become sort of postmodern about it and sort of satirical of the old sitcoms because they've tried to be a little bit more real. Those other sitcoms, I kind of believed that's what life was like in the 80s, and that's not at all what life was like with those sitcoms.
No.
But I still feel like there's a message. And in my mind, the later ones were stupider. But what it probably was they were still giving the same simple, overly glossed over lessons that I had already learned, so they just seemed really stupid to me.
Well, I think one really valuable thing about them, or I don't know what made an impression, was that whatever the issue was that was being talked about, the relationships that people had, you know, that was the thing that sort of joined every situation together. You know, one of the ways you could sort of get over how oversimplistic and how nicely everything resolved at the end too cleanly
mm-hmm.
was the fact that the people in the situation were so close, you know what I'm saying? They cared
yeah.
about each other so much that you could almost imagine a situation with this, weight, this gravity being handled this way and them getting together, understanding one another, being there for one, for each other.
Sharing the laughter and life.
Yeah, all that stuff. It just seemed like, yeah, this isn't how it really is, but why couldn't it be something like this?
It's interesting that you say that, though, because I recall when a little show called Married with Children came out, I very much did not like it. And there's a lot of reasons not to like Married with Children. But the one that I hit on was everybody in the family was an asshole and hated everyone else in the family.
Right.
Like, eventually they'd have little, like, oh, you really do that. But mostly the show was about them all being jerks and being jerks to each other.
Right.
And I never really got over that. Because of my addiction to sitcoms, I have watched a lot of Married with Children, but I would never say I liked it. Mm-hmm. But the other show that I had the exact same reaction to at first was The Simpsons.
Yeah. Right.
Simpsons had the same thing. The Simpsons managed to evolve and show that, like, I don't feel like The Simpsons is a family of people who hate each other.
No, right.
Like, they still, you know, fuck each other over and stuff, but there's a love thing there. And I think, and this goes into bigger issues I have with movies and there needing to be character sympathy and that kind of thing. But no, I think you're right. That was a very important part. And I have trouble with that today in sitcoms when I'm like, everybody just hates, why are, this is stupid because they should sell the kids and get divorced. Like, nobody likes each other here. Why are we watching this?
Yeah.
And
that's, I mean, we're talking about, really family oriented sitcoms, but I don't really remember too many other kinds.
No, back in the day, like MASH and...
Well, yeah, MASH, I guess.
And
Cheers was later.
Arguably Perfect Strangers, but that was really about family.
Yeah.
Just two guys. But, whatever. And that's the show that taught me that foreigners are hilarious. Seriously, I loved that show. I lost my mind over that show.
And Mork and Mindy.
Mork and Mindy. Still a family thing.
Yeah, kind of.
And you could argue a Gene Roddenberry-esque examination of the human condition by looking outside humanity.
Happy Days. Some great.
There was a very short-lived, I think it only had one season, sitcom that my mother and I really loved called Davis Rules. And it was a family that consisted of a father. The mom was gone. I don't remember if she was dead or run off or what. The mom was just not in the picture. Mm-hmm. And there were like three boys of varying ages. Mm-hmm. And there was the dad's dad who lived with them.
Okay.
And it was, and they were lower class. It reminds me a little bit of Roseanne. I think it was before Roseanne. It wasn't quite as obvious, like it was still cutie schmaltzy sitcom stuff, but it was that sort of family thing. But what is interesting about it, and honestly what was good about it, the dad, played by a much younger, much less crazy Randy Quaid, and the grandfather, played by Jonathan Winters.
Right.
And it was really good.
But it didn't go on for very long.
No, it didn't. I don't know what happened to that. There were a lot of ones like that. Did you ever see The Charmings?
No.
Oh, goddamn. The Charmings was the worst fucking show ever. That back before people watched shit because it was bad, my family was watching The Charmings because it was bad. Snow White. The Snow White story happens.
Okay.
And everybody is put into a deep sleep. And they wake up hundreds of years later in the present day.
Oh, wow.
And they just live in a house. And the evil queen, who's the mother-in-law, lives there too. And she's still got the magic mirror. And they're trying to adjust to modern society.
Life.
And they had like one fucking dwarf. And they had neighbors who, of course, didn't understand them because they were so crazy. oh my God. Yep. And the guy who played Prince Charming was a staple in many sitcoms. He most recently, when Reba McEntire had her sitcom, he played the ex-husband who, like, lived next door or whatever. But, yeah, back then he was Prince Charming. I think it was the pilot episode where they had friends over for, like, a party night or whatever, and it was all awkward and stuff, and I just remember the end bit. They all got along and says, maybe next time we'll play Dungeons and Dragons. He said, oh, yeah, I've got my own equipment. And he goes in the closet and pulls out a sword. It was so bad. Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I don't know if we're answering Jazz's question, though.
Children should be neither seen nor heard. They don't get stories. They get put in the closet.
I really don't.
No, show them 80 sitcoms.
Well, the kids in my house seem to like them, and I don't know. They held up, I thought, more or less.
The kids or the sitcoms?
The sitcoms. I mean, you know.
I'm imagining the kids, like, their arm falls off.
Yeah, you had to, I mean, you kind of had to take into account the era that they were
shot. Some of them hold up and some of them don't. It's kind of interesting.
So
yeah. I always have a soft spot for sitcoms that are just before my time, like WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, that wasn't, that was my time.
Yes.
We loved
that. And that's show. The thing. I was basically one when that was a hit.
It was that was a good one.
Remember It's a Living?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember very much about it.
I just remember, like, so many people on that I knew from it. Jillian Jacobs was, or whatever her name. The woman who very famously had to get a double mastectomy and did a, like, a after-school special movie about that experience where she played herself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Crystal Barnhart, before she went on to do many other sitcoms.
We watched All in the Family.
See, and that's another one I'm fascinated with because it's too young for me.
That was like cutting
Jeffersons.
Edge. That
too,
was like
too cut, far back.
That
for
was
me.
Cutting edge TV there.
All in the Family, mind blowing.
Yeah, and yes, the Jeffersons, Good Times. Those are all really.
I forgot another major two major shows. Influential sitcoms to me. Golden Girls and Designing Women.
Yeah, we didn't watch those.
Those nowadays they look archaic. But there was some pioneering feminist shit going on in those at the time.
That's true.
And again, was not aware at the time how much Golden Girls was just fucking about sex. It was just about old ladies having sex constantly. Wasn't aware of that. But there was so much issue. There were major issues of that one of friendship and family and the concept of having friends that are so close to you that they're essentially your family.
Well, and getting older too. I mean,
yeah. An issue, again, mostly went over my head. Yeah. And Designing Women. I mean, again, nowadays some of the aspects of it seem kind of anti-feminist, but at the time, for the ground it was covering, it was huge. That was one of the first ones they dealt with AIDS on that show. Mm-hmm. There was some serious shit in there. They dealt with body image issues, pornography. They actually tackled pornography in a balanced perspective. They did not deal with pornography in a pornography is evil way. They dealt with pornography in one of the people on the show felt pornography was completely evil and ended up getting in, like, because she kept plowing into this newsstand that was selling pornography, and so she kept getting arrested and things, and she ends up having this huge fight with the publisher of one of the magazines, who is a woman who considers herself a feminist, and they actually debated it and all that, and it was completely unresolved. Like, and at the time it was very interesting, and looking back now, and especially having gone through so much gender and women's studies, I'm like, wow. That was remarkably complex shit for that time.
Well, and see, that's the thing about Family Ties too, is that while you had these hippie parents and this conservative son, it's not like it ever felt like the show picked a side.
No,
like you,
and in fact, it frequently had messages that were about the bits that are beyond that.
Yes, exactly.
The shit like that.
Yeah.
The situations in which that stuff isn't what matters.
Right. Like the son often would say, look, I'm never going to agree with your politics, or, I mean, this is how I feel, but we can agree on this. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
And that was really interesting.
And the usual, like, I don't agree with da-da-da-da, but you're still my son. Like,
yeah,
that line came
exactly,
up a lot.
Right. And so that was interesting to see. And, you know, when candidate Barack Obama was doing the same thing in campaign speeches, it really impressed people and probably propelled him into office, so... You know, that was the kind of thing that sitcoms did fairly routinely.
And it was all hokey, and it was all heavy-handed, and it was all simple.
Yeah, but it seemed like there was some underlying
sort of two-dimensional
truth and stuff in it.
No, but this is like, as a grown-up, I'm not sure. I think a lot of it wouldn't work for me as well now, because it would seem too dumbed down. But it's just right for kids of a certain age. I can't believe I didn't put this together.
Yeah.
Wow, TV did more raising of me than I realized. I need to talk with my parents.
Yeah, I've often thought about that, because I can just remember certain moments watching a TV show thinking, oh, wow, that's really interesting.
And to be fair, I watched a lot of shit like Star Trek, too, which had a lot of message in it, too, and I watched that with my
family.
Next
Generation, you mean?
Yeah, I watched some originals. I mean, it was in syndication by that point, but I watched a fair bit of that, too. And then because my parents are so old and have sort of been, were born old, I watched a lot of murder mystery shows. And I don't know what the fuck those taught me. I don't know what I got out of Murder, She Wrote. And Matlock.
I think watching Star Trek with kids is kind of an interesting thing to do. I mean, you know, it deals
Make sure you know the kids.
Yeah, well, I
mean... don't just find kids who are watching Star Trek and try and sneak into their house.
There are a lot of things to talk about in just about every Star Trek episode that can be really interesting. Probably more so than, say, Star Wars, but, you know...
Yeah.
We watched Star Wars when we were kids, and that was pretty cool or whatever, but I don't know if I'd say it's great for kids, necessarily.
No, it has a pretty boring moral message. Which, as time goes on, gets all the more convoluted, too.
Right. But yeah, I don't feel like... I think we've had a pretty good discussion here, but I'm not sure we really addressed the issue very well.
So, standard, then. The usual. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure our listeners have an opinion about this, or maybe Jazz does.
I'm sure Jazz does.
So they can share that opinion.
Go to the blog, share that opinion, everybody. And go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and tell us what you think and tell us how we're wrong or tell us how you agree with us. Or bring up an aspect we forgot, because there are several. I promise you. Also, write the hat. We really need more people to write the hat. We need material. But I also feel like this is becoming the purview of just, you know, the top four or five hard hats. And I feel like that's not fair to the rest of y'all. But then I remember the rest of y'all are just being lazy and not writing in. So then I'm like, fuck it.
Maybe we should challenge Sean and Angela right now.
Oh, Sean, Angela.
While they're listening.
Yep.
Just write the hat
and
right
Cindy,
now.
And Cindy, don't fuck around. You know you need to do this too.
Any, just right off the top of your head, whatever question, comment you
write
want.
Write it.
It won't take
Doesn't have to be a question. You could just put in a topic.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that has happened to us before. You say, talk about...
Yeah.
I believe that
whatever
has happened.
Whatever you're curious about yourself or... Maybe something came up in your head while you were listening. And
or just a comment.
Yeah, or just a comment.
We will totally pull something out of the head that says you guys are fucking losers.
Just send something right now.
Do it.
And it'll just take you a couple seconds.
Yep. Meanwhile, we're going to leave. We'll let you get about your business. So, might as well say this. No, I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Okay.
What I will say, don't see... Elysium.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.